Does the solitude of deployments, the tough process of reintegration, and the lack of understanding within your community feel you feeling isolated? Kelly and I are going to dive deep into the importance of providing a safe space for open, honest, and sometimes tough conversations about the reality of military lifestyle. We're going to dive into why it's important to have compassion in the military community, personal growth, connection, and mental well-being. Let's get to the interview as we step out of our comfort zones and learn to thrive, not just survive. Welcome to the Waiting Warriors podcast, the podcast for military spouses and significant others who are committed to their service member and want to make the most out of this unique military lifestyle. It's for genuine and honest conversations about topics normally glossed over or things that we just don't talk about for those who want to know actionable and tactical things so that they can really thrive. I'm your host, Michelle Bowler, military spouse of almost 12 years. Let's get to the interview. Hey, Waiting Warriors out there. Welcome to another week on the Waiting Warriors podcast. This week, our guest is Tiffany Kelly. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm excited for today's topic. Oh, first, I always do this. I get excited about the topic and then I forget to introduce. So today's topic is going to be really good. We're going to talk about why it is okay to admit that deployments, TDYs, reintegration, all of that is hard, and why that's okay for us to say out loud and acknowledge and talk about within our community. But before we get to that, let me introduce our guest. Tiffany's husband serves in the active duty Air Force. He's gone on around 23 years, so they are well experienced. She has 3 kids and is an advocate for military spouses and families. So Tiffany, let's get into it. So the first thing I was thinking of, I loved when you applied to be on the show and you had said that this is what you wanted to talk about. I really got excited because it's true. In our community, there's kind of this feeling that military spouses just need to buck it up and then don't talk about it, right? It's fine.
And I think my heart for this is particularly dealing with our new airmen or our new troops in general, our new military spouses who join, and they have a seasoned spouses, because I was before I had 16 years under my belt as a military spouse, I was just like everybody else. I had a whole career and I had a child. I was a single mom before mm-hmm. I married. And then I married into this. He had been serving for 5 or 6 years when we met. So he was still new to the lifestyle, and he deployed within 1 year of us being married. And because I had a career, I was never really involved with the base. I wasn't a member of the spouses club. I didn't go to the airman family. I didn't even shop at the commissary. We lived out in town. And so I kind of had my own life outside of the Air Force. I didn't need the Air Force, right? Because I was doing my own thing. I was in my early 30s when we got married. He's a little younger. Well, he's quite a bit younger. And so, but I had been told, you don't need to tell him how stressful this is. You don't need to tell him you're sad. You don't need to talk about that. We need to be stoic and resilient, and you can get through this. But, and yes, I can. However, once my husband came home, and we went through something really traumatic during that first deployment, and it's why I have spent the last 14 years dedicating my time and my heart to military spouse and family advocacy. I had surgery while he was deployed, and I ended up on life support, and he was not able to come home. And my son, the time he was 11, he was sent to Texas to be with my mother while I recovered, and he was there for about 7 weeks. So being the spouse that didn't need the Air Force and never talked about how hard it was, not having family, not having, I had some friends because I'm an extrovert with work and stuff, but having a support network and primarily somebody to advocate for my family that this family has gone through. This was in 2009, so technology and everything has come a long mm-hmm. way. But I wasn't allowed to tell my husband how devastated I was that my son has been taken to Texas. I'm all alone with a home health care nurse. Nobody was listening. And when he came home and we were talking about just going through that whole process, when he finally came home 4.5 months later, he said, "Why didn't you tell me? Like how, like when we did get to talk?" And I said, "Well, I've always been told that I can't put that stress on you." And so something I always want to encourage other spouses that if you have a marriage, and mind you, we're newlyweds, like we're new, we haven't been married years and we're still learning communication. My husband felt like I was keeping something from him and that I wasn't allowing him to be my partner.
Mm-hmm.
He was my only thing. I'm 1,000 miles from family and friends and everything I've known for 30 something years. And he goes, "You kept all that from me." And he wasn't mad. He was just like, "I just feel so bad that you didn't ever tell me." He goes, "Because you felt like you couldn't." And I said, "Well, all these other, everything back then online was, you can't tell them. They're dealing with enough." Well, you know what? When your partner wants to be your home base and your safe space, and you don't share that and you don't have friends, then they feel like you're keeping that from them. And it's also, it's very vulnerable and it's scary to say, "I need help. Like, I'm sorry, but can somebody tell me who is good at fixing my water heater?" Navigate all of this while raising children or juggling a career, and my person is gone. And it's one of the things that I like, if I could erase that stigma or that belief that we're not allowed to talk about how hard things are in the military. Don't get me wrong, the military lifestyle has afforded us phenomenal opportunities. We just came back stateside from overseas, but there was a payoff. I didn't see my family for 2 years. It was a struggle overseas, and it's a struggle every time, but it has been a wonderful life. But I'm allowed to say that I did not like where we were. And while I had wonderful opportunities and my children did as well, I'm still allowed to say that was a really hard assignment and I struggled. So much so I wanted to come home after 6 months of being overseas. Like, I'm almost 47 and I wanted to come home to my mama. So I can only imagine how I have a 25-year-old son, so I can only imagine how a 25-year-old spouse would feel being away from mom or her family or her friends. If I'm struggling after 4 deployments, a 15-month remote tour, a COVID deployment, like if I'm struggling, what is this spouse that hasn't ever been through anything like this? And we're not supposed to talk about it. Girl, call me. We can talk about it. We're going to help each other get through it. So I think it's really important for spouses to stand together and say, "Hey, I get it. This is hard. There are resources to help. So let's get a solution. But I'm going to let you vent and unload. And I'm not going to judge you for it because my hard is different than your hard. Just because I'm handling it really well at this point doesn't mean it's healthy, right? My hyper independence and wanting to ask for help, it's not healthy and it's not good for the grand scheme of things if I'm so strung out and stressed from everything that I can't be active in my home, my children, because my children only have me when their dad is gone. And so that's my heart for this, is that spouses hear a seasoned senior wife say, "It's okay, and you're hard." I'm not going to say, "Well, I've done it 4 times and I'm fine." I'm not fine. I'm not. There are some things that I do and live that other people go, why is she like that?" Well, it's because this is how I've had to adapt. And nobody should have to be this independent or this hard all the time. So I think that's what's important. The message I want to get out to spouses and service members. To the service member, if your spouse is struggling, please don't say, "Suck it up, buttercup. You knew what you signed up for." I did not know what I signed up for.
There's no such thing. I'm sorry. I have done a number of hard things. I've done a number of hard things that I signed up for, right? Like I have four kids and I think the oldest was five, like 5 or 6 years old. I had kids fast. I thought I knew what that meant and that every kid was intentional. And you can judge me for that decision all you want, but like, I'm glad they're here. I knew what I signed up for. No, there's no way you can have any concept of what it's like to have kids and multiple kids and then your husband gone and being in the military and moving all the time. Like, do I regret the decision? No, but there's actually no way I could have understood what it feels like. You maybe know logistically on paper what it's going to be, but you can't possibly fathom what it's going to feel like. Like, that's just, I hate when people say that.
And I mean, I've had family members tell me that. Well, you knew what you signed up, you married them. I didn't. I did not know that when my husband comes home sometimes, he's not really home because he has a conference call. While we were stationed in Sicily at a Navy base, and he had to report back to Grand Forks, North Dakota, or Langley, where ACC is headquartered. And so sometimes if they had a conference call at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, that meant at 11 o'clock at night, my husband was on a Teams meeting. I did not know that was going to happen. Nope. No other career asked that of people. I mean, not that they're told you have to do this. It's if you want to work abroad, you're a volunteer. Like, you know that you're going to do this occasionally, but you definitely don't know that you're also going to be the primary caregiver of your children, that even when your spouse is home. I remember when he came home from the deployment, he was deployed October of 2019. I mean, he was supposed to come home in April of 2020, but COVID happened. So he was part of the stop movement. And our youngest son, let's see, he would have been 7 at the time, almost 8. Yes, almost 8. And I remember being in the shower and all of a sudden I'm like washing my hair and I see a little hand come through. Mom, can you undo this cup lid? Like it was a twist off water bottle. And I'm like, we're in isolation. My husband is home from deployment. And my child comes into the shower and puts his arm through the shower curtain for me to twist off his bottle cap because he couldn't get it open. And I'm like, your dad is on the couch. Like, he's awake. What? But to him, he has not asked his dad to do anything for him. The concept of being able to ask his dad to do a menial task doesn't even cross his mind. And so nobody warned me about that. And I have some amazing mentor spouses that have kind of scooped me up and helped me along the way. But nobody told me that even when he's home sometimes, I mean, physically he's there, but these children are gonna still come to mom. And it does not matter what you were doing or how many plates you're juggling, they're still gonna come to you, even though dad is a whole human capable of everything. And we have these conversations because it kind of makes him feel guilty if I'm sitting there switching out laundry and one of the children come by and start interrupting me. He's like, hey, buddy, I'm right here. He's like, yeah, but mom does it here. And so we have those conversations too. So to the service members who are trying to juggle all this, remember, y'all didn't know fully what you signed up for either. I mean, you've got a contract and TDY and deployments, but we don't know about the emotional weight that we carry and the mental load we carry, because nobody can prepare you for this. Nobody can give you an outline of at year 5, you're going to experience this, or at this rank, this is the expectation. And as he has progressed in his career, I have grown as well in my advocacy efforts, and just this opportunity came up and I was like, this has been my platform for years about being able to be authentic and not be stereotyped as a whiny military entitled spouse. If my husband was doing some, if he was out in the oil field or if he was out working on the electrical lines during a hurricane, nobody would say that if I said I was having a hard time, right? Nobody would say that. Absolutely. They would be like, honey, I know this is hard. He'll be home in a few weeks. But if I it or another military spouse says it, other military spouses will completely drag you. Military members will completely, if you put it online, you're going to get blasted. And you know what? Like, we're supposed to be in a support era of supporting our mental health and our physical health, because it's all impacts readiness and retention. Mm-hmm. And you don't have these conversations, and we don't say, hey, I am allowed to say this. We're in a hard season. There's been some beautiful growth. There's been victories. We have capitalized. We are doing well financially. And all of that is beautiful. But sprinkled in there, there have been some really deep valleys that we've had to trudge through to get to the top. And there will be more. I mean, my husband has no intention of getting out anytime. I mean, we're looking at another at least 7 years. And so that will come with challenges, especially when you have children. We're looking into middle school and high school during those 7 years. So you have to recognize that if I'm going to be vulnerable and say this is hard, I'm not asking for sympathy or pity. I understand the military 100%. But what I am saying is that I'm allowed to say this is hard. And you are too.
Yeah. Well, I think, I wonder if often people misunderstand that, like, those are the only two options. Like, if she's saying, if the military spouse is bringing this up, then they are looking for sympathy and pity. But it's like, okay, we're forgetting about compassion.
Yes.
And there's just simple compassion that we could offer people, and how much farther and healthier would the military spouse community be, and really the whole military community be, if we just had some more compassion. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to be some competition of who had it harder and who's tougher and who was able to face what war the best. Like, this isn't, it doesn't have to be some like macho challenge for each other, right? Like, we can be human about this. We can be compassionate about it and just let spouses voice their concerns and their struggles and vent a little bit. And then if there are resources, then we can hand off those resources, or we can just validate. And that alone can like just help spouses tremendously. But instead, you're right. Like I'm one of those spouses who is trying online to voice the things that people aren't voicing. And I get stuff all the time. Like it would make their skin crawl, the things that people say, because I mean, they're just arrogant, right? But like, it just is astounding that's still so deeply embedded in people's response. But if we could just have some compassion, like I'm not asking you to solve my problems. I'm not asking you to really do anything except for hear me. And that's it.
And to say, I think sometimes people jump to the, oh, I understand. Mm-hmm. And it's understand, but don't add the but. I understand, but you should. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like somebody says, I'm so sorry, but I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
That completely negates you understand if you're going to try to diminish my experience and how I feel about what we are enduring right now. And so, I mean, I've had it recently. We've only been back stateside about 3 months, and everybody's like, you should just be so grateful that you had the chance to go overseas. I am grateful. 100%. My children walked the beaches of Normandy. We were able to do an Auschwitz tour in Poland, Vienna, Malta. We traveled. We did not travel a huge amount. We were only there for 2 years, and we were there at the COVID. But I said, but that does not take away the fact that the infrastructure in the country I lived in was so minimal that we had power outages every day, multiple times a day, spouses couldn't work. It's a very remote location. Sicily is about 50 to 60 years behind mainland Italy, so it's not the same. And I can say that I did not enjoy those aspects. That does not take away from the beautiful aspect and the Sicilian friends that I will go back and visit. Mm-hmm. The local community that embraced myself and my family, we absolutely will go back and visit. But I never want to be stationed there again, ever. You put me in a different part of Europe, maybe. It came at a cost. My parents did not see their two youngest grandchildren for two whole years. And we're still not able to go home this Christmas. It's just the timing isn't going to work this year for us. So they're unable to travel this year. So now we're at year three. And some people may think, well, you knew that would happen. I only missed three Christmases in like 14 years. That's really important when your family, when you are aging and your children are aging and your parents are aging, and that time is cut down so much as it is. So I just want people to understand we're not looking for anything for free. We're not complaining about discounts. We're literally sharing, hey, this lifestyle does take a toll on us. Every time we say yes, our memories, our items get destroyed and moves, and we have to go through the claims process. Our personal belongings are destroyed. We live without our car we went without our vehicle for 3.5 months. It took 3.5 months to get a vehicle back stateside, and we had to rent a car. I'm not asking for any special favors. I'm simply saying, man, this is tough doing one car with two kids in two different schools and a husband who's working all the time. I'm not looking, but I'm allowed to say, whew, it's heavy. And yeah. I'm just asking for people, like you said, to be a little compassionate and go, I never thought of that. I never saw it that way, because the dramatization and the commercialism of beautiful homecomings and other wonderful aspects of military life. And so much of the voices, the struggling voices, are often muted and told, you can't say that here. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a place for spouses that can say, I can tell her and it's going to be okay. She's not going to negate or diminish or minimize my heart. And I know that it's going to be okay to share with her.
Yeah. What would you say, or like, do you have advice for spouses who are trying to voice those heartaches, but are met with just the stop and the slam in the face, all the things you've expressed? Like, what do you have any advice for when they approach those moments?
So I think my number one, and I have shared this recently, I recently briefed at our Airman Leadership School here about family support and advocacy for military spouses to be well taken care of and to have a voice. And really, you have to choose your platform. There are hundreds of Facebook, thousands of Facebook, Instagram, whichever social media platform. If you go and you post something on the internet, you have to be prepared to see it broken down, shredded, and they're going to attack that, because people lose their compassion the moment they log in and they look for that. They look for that fight to where they can tear something down. Primarily, it's because they don't understand it. They don't have the capacity. And I think when we put things online, there's one of two things that are happening. You're going to have people come in and say, hey, I get it. But you're going to have the majority of people are going to nitpick it and tear it apart, insult, and try to break you down more. So my recommendation is always pick your platform. If you're going to put it on a Facebook or page that is known to be a little controversial, and you've read those posts, we all have, right? You got to lower your expectation of where you're sharing that. That is not a safe space. It's not. And for you to find a safe space, it's going to make you move out of your comfort zone to find another platform for you to be able to share that information. And that's where I see a lot of breakdown in today's younger generation, is that we're so technology driven and you're losing that connection. There is no connection behind an anonymous post on a Facebook group or on a Twitter tweet or whatever we're calling them now. I don't even know because I don't keep up with all of it. But though, you have to know your platform. And if you really want your voice to be heard, look for legitimate platforms. Look for those endorsed resources that have professionals and advocates in the corner to say, yes, I want to hear you. Like, just like when I saw your post and I applied, I was like, this is my chance to tell everybody to get off the controversial Facebook groups and quit putting it out there. Mm-hmm. Because that's what gets likes and views and clicks, right? And so you're just driving that negativity. And really, I would encourage people to, let's get back to some basic human connection. And you can start on your installation. You can start in your church community. And you can start in your mom's play groups or in your women networking groups. I've seen a lot of recent, within the community I live in, they have stood up just a women's only networking for professionals, for moms to come in and network and just really support each other. And that is my biggest piece of advice, is that as much as we want to put stuff out on the internet, if you're going to be brave enough to put it on the internet, you're opening yourself up for that microscope for somebody to really dig in. And they're looking to hurt people. They're not. And I don't believe these people are like this in real, in human, in real person to person interaction. I believe a lot of it is the keyboard warrior, and they just want to, they want to be that person, and that's okay for them. But I would encourage a spouse, if she is struggling, to find her resources. And if she doesn't know how to find them, she needs to find somebody who does know how. And so, be it through, in the Air Force, we have our first sergeants who are our family liaison to the command. You typically have a key spouse or a family unit liaison that is a spouse volunteer to help get connected to those resources. We have military family readiness centers. Within the Navy, there's fleet and family support centers, and they have people there equipped to help you through this, your chaplain corps. And that's my advice, is that you have to pick your platform. If you want to share and be vulnerable and open yourself up, you're going to get criticism and you're going to get comfort. But if you put it online, you're going to get a lot more criticism than you do comfort, because there's no connection. There's no off connection online, right? There's just, it cannot replace human connection. I just had this conversation on Tuesday. I was speaking to someone locally and I told her, I said, I think it's great, this idea, but you cannot DoorDash connection. I can DoorDash food, I can Angie's List somebody to come fix my fence and not really have to ever talk to anybody. It can absolutely be transactional. But if we want to have transformation when it comes to these topics, you got to put the phones down. You got to get your honey, get in a chair and talk with somebody and get some real help instead of just utilizing these online platforms where that criticism is not going to help you transition through this lifestyle.
Yeah. And I think with, like, with getting those harsh reactions to sharing the hard, like, I think, at least my experience, and maybe yours has been different, but like most of the time in person with spouses, it is, you do get the compassion, you get the understanding, you get the like, oh yes, I feel you. And maybe every now and then, like, there is a spouse that is just gonna say, well, I did this many things, or that's our job. But I feel like it really is less often now. And so I just want to encourage the spouses to not be afraid of in-person communication. Don't go to the coffee or go to the park, the on-post park, where there's a whole bunch of other moms there and spouses there, don't go there feeling like you can't say anything. You know what I mean? Like maybe you don't have to vent everything, which sometimes my blabbermouth does, right? Like, but you can test the waters out, like with something that, like that was crazy, right? But I just, it's like, it's there. The stigma is there, I think, in the community as a whole, but I've at least experienced and seen the spouses are really, they are shifting. And there's more, there's far more of us that will give you compassion than will give you angst.
Yes, 100%. And so, and I think it was Brené Brown who said, if you always constantly go looking for people to not like you or not accept you, you always find it.
Yeah.
If you immediately walk in there and go, oh, these military spouses, they're just going to be, you, that's the person you're going to attract. And so if I walk into a space, I'm going in going, I'm going to connect. And that person might not be a lifelong friend. That person might not be, they may just be for that season. And you're right. There is always one, and I call them one uppers for deployments. And we're about to go through another one. He's already been tagged with the new deployment rotation within the Air Force. So we'll be facing a deployment next year. And my husband was gone 8 times in four years. Okay, great. Like it doesn't, just because you've got four more than me doesn't mean that my four didn't count. Or like, I don't know why there has, like you said, there's this comparison, this competition of, well, I did it more than you. Oh, okay. You've also been in 37 years. So I don't know what to say.
Even if you haven't been in 34 years, we just did 3 PCSs. Okay. Oh, what a thing. So it's like we just did 3 PCSs in 2 years. Yeah. That was nuts. Yes. That doesn't mean though that somebody else's one PCS is not hard. Like, how dare we think that the world revolves around us in that way? Do you know what I mean? Like when you're saying that, you're saying that like, there's only so much hard in the world and I took it all. Like, no, sorry. I wish that was how it worked. That was how it worked. Yes. There could just be one sacrificial lamb. She take it all for us and we bake her cookies and bread. I will make her meals. Do you know what I mean?
I will clean her house. I will scrub toilets for her if she would take this all for us. Yes, absolutely. So,
but it's not.
The other thing I want to encourage is that, so I'm considered a senior spouse, right? Like it's just out there. Rank doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Rank does not matter. I remember when I very first got involved in spouses clubs. And I mean, I remember this vividly. One of my dearest friends, she was enduring a deployment and her husband was an officer. And somebody made the comment. She was like, well, that officer pay should make this way easier. And I was like, my husband was just a staff sergeant at the time. So like, we're just this little bitty baby E5. And I remember going, but how does his pay make missing him any easier? And so I always struggle with the rank structure and how we're taught, do not wear your husband's rank. Do not wear your spouse's rank. Don't talk about it. But people think that once we get to a certain level, that we don't have those problems. And I am our current unit key spouse mentor. And the commander asked me to come in and brief during one of his commander calls. And so I've met several of the airmen and some of the spouses. And so I always lead off with, I'm not here to get into your business. I'm here to help take care of you and your family. I said, and what I want everybody to know is that I'm Tiffany. I might be married to him, but I am Tiffany. I'm this whole person outside of him. And before I was his wife at this rank, I was a staff sergeant's wife. I have 2 children who are 11 months apart in age that were both in diapers. And He was just a tech sergeant, just a baby E6. And we had a teenager at home. So we've had financial struggles. We understand that. We've had marital struggles due to all the separations. We've struggled heavily with reintegration. Reintegration is one thing that, because it's beautiful for the first 2 weeks when they're home on R, and then they go back to work and it's like, oh, it's reality again. But when he comes home, and we've done this since 2009, three or four deployments, a 15-month remote, and I call it armchair parenting. He comes home and he's like, why are the kids doing this? I was like, because for 6 months we were in survival mode. And that was not a battle I was willing to fight with a five-year-old. Yeah. So reintegration, I don't feel like is talked about enough. It's starting to. I'm starting to see it within other nonprofits and resources providing information on how do you deal with reintegration. And reintegration is really hard for us. I was a single mom for 10 years before we got married, and that hyper independence of I don't need you, I want you kind of mentality. But even sometimes I don't want him to get involved. That mama thing comes out. And so, but he is their parent, he is their father. And so reintegration is something that I don't think we are well prepared for. And every single long separation, even if it was just 4 to 6 months, has been different. Every single one of them, even though we have done this a lot, and he goes on countless TDYs where he's gone a lot. He still works 14-hour days to where he's not home until 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And he's just in a really high tempo job. And so I think that is something that I definitely did not know that. I did not know that I was going to go full mama bear on him when he got onto the baby. And the baby is 11.
Yeah.
And I'm still like, what are you talking to him like that for? And then that causes friction with us, right? Because I'm like, sir, you have not been home in 6 months. He's allowed to do whatever he wants as long as he's not anybody. So I think being able to have the real hard conversations, and it's been a struggle for me. I will admit to the other spouses out there, I have not always been well received in my vulnerability and willingness to go, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say this because I don't want to like reveal too much, but as that wife, at that rank, I should not be saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say.
Who wrote that rule?
Is there an AI? Is there an instruction that I didn't get passed off? And I'm not trying to be crass or disrespectful to any kind of appropriate level, but I should be able to say, regardless of the rank he holds or the position he's in, I should be able to say that every time we PCS, I have to prove myself. I have to decide, am I going to work? I have to decide schools and all that. Like, I should be able to say those things with my whole breath and not worry about the wrath of judgment and shame to fall down on me and my household and go, can you believe his wife said that? Yes,
yeah.
Yeah. If anybody should say it, it should be us senior spouses to pave that way. I mean, senior spouses have been paving the way in every other advocacy avenue, employment, childcare, education. Why can we not have that conversation to say the mental load and stress that I carry in part due to his military service or her military service as my spouse weighs on me? And I'm allowed to say that. And I think senior spouses should be honest about it. We don't have to put on a pretty face and white gloves and sip our tea and look like we're on point all the time. I've been in my house 3 months and I still don't have any curtains hung. They're still fine. And that's okay. It's not perfect, right? But it's who I am. And I should be able to say that even if he is X whatever. Yeah. I should be able to say that. And my hard... The missing doesn't get easier. Him missing, our youngest son was just selected for the spelling bee in his school, and it's extremely competitive. And unfortunately, the day of the school-wide spelling bee, there is no way my husband can. He has a command-directed, like, high-level training or something he has to attend. And, I mean, nobody prepares you that, even though I'm the kind of default parent caregiver, he still wants his dad there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody tells you, how can you console an 11-year-old who just wants his daddy to be there? Or my husband missed our oldest son's graduation because he was on the remote tour in Turkey. I mean, graduation, the monumental event of a teenager's life, and his father missed his graduation. He couldn't make it. The rotator couldn't get him home. And so nobody prepares you for that. Nobody prepares you to have to travel that road with your kids. And so, if anything, I feel like a senior spouse's, a seasoned experience, whatever term you want to use, we should absolutely be the ones to say, hey, I know it's tough. I'm here to listen. If you want to vent, it's, are you just venting or do you want solutions? Because if you're just venting, I'm good with that. But I want to help you not get deeper into that valley. I'm going to try to like pull you up with you and help walk this pathway, because it is tough.
So. Yeah, it is. Okay. Well, I feel like you've given us like the best pep talk. I appreciate it. Last question that I love to end every interview on: what is your key to thriving that you would want to share with your fellow waiting warriors?
Get out of the house. And I know it's hard. I know. And I know that there is a huge stigma with spouses clubs, and there's not, or FRGs or whatever your support, right? And even key spouses within the Air Force, within the Navy. I served as an ombudsman while I was on a Navy installation for our command in the Air Force. And I know there's a stigma, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, military spouses, I am almost 50. It's not drama. Right. I have met some of my lifelong friends through the spouses club, just by going to a social or to coffee or to Bunko. And I'm not friends with everybody. Absolutely not. I'm not. I don't add everybody on LinkedIn. I don't add everybody on Facebook. But I do have people who were at the birth of my children that were military spouses. A military spouse kept my 11-month-old daughter while I was giving birth to my son, because my mom needed to be at the hospital with me when I was giving birth to a premature baby via C-section. Mm-hmm. And so get out of the house, get connected. And if it's not within the military spouse community, that's okay. There are lots of civic groups. There's the Junior League. There's so many organizations out there willing to scoop you up right where you're at. If you're a working spouse, if your career path, network outside of your work and find a community that can help you thrive and not just survive it. Because when he comes home and you're like, thank God you're home. Ugh. Then that comes the whole new trying to thrive through reintegration. I can't tell you how many families that I have reintegration, they get home, the first couple of weeks or month is okay. And then by month three, I see a post on Facebook where we're separating or we're divorcing, because they didn't get connected. They didn't have the resources. They didn't know. And there's some problems coming home from deployment. The same person may not come home from deployment and they don't know how to get help. And encourage every military spouse that is enduring a high ops tempo career field, a job that is physically, mentally time heavy, get connected and do something for yourself. Be it, I don't care what it is. It has to bring you a level of joy that will sustain you while you're waiting and will help you thrive. And like I said, not just survive it, because we're all going to come out on the other side of this. The military is just this little piece of your life, be it you serve for 6 or you do 30 or 35. It's still just a piece of your life. There's so much outside of that. And if once you do get out, you don't want to take those battle scars entirely with you. You want to thrive and really take the lessons and put them to use in that next chapter that you're going to be facing. So I would say that it's all about connection. It really is. And I know it's hard right now because I feel like a lot of places are still recovering from COVID and the comfortableness of being online. And I love online stuff. I'm on a lot of online forums and connection places, but it cannot replace what you can find in the comfort with people who understand what you're going through. And so join something, at least visit it at least a couple of times and give it a chance to where you could go, you know what? Yeah, that might be a place I could do once a month, even if you're not extremely social or extroverted. Yep, I could do that once a month. I could go and have coffee with these people because I feel it's a safe place for me to share. And then I can grow my network that way.
Yeah, I love it. It's like, join a softball team, right? Like almost every city has like some adult softball team or whatever. That's like the most classic civilian one. It doesn't have to be in the military, but just do something.
Like, what's a big one? Roller derby is a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of take off. And I'm like, oh, I wish I wasn't a natural born klutz, because I would totally break something the first round. But I love that whole, like, I've had a few friends that were on leagues and I would go and cheer them on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that would be such a great way to like get some aggression out, but still have that camaraderie and that connection to where you do feel like you are your own person and you're not just waiting for the next thing to happen. So, yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Tiffany, for coming on the show and for supporting us and advocating for us and just like kind of bolstering us and reminding us that like it's okay to admit it and for ourselves, but also for those that we interact with. And just, I hope we all feel reminded that like compassion is always the best response for everybody. If somebody wants to connect with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
I'm probably on LinkedIn. So I'm on LinkedIn. I don't post every day, but I do post things that I feel are important. And I share a lot of the military spouse resources between various nonprofits and opportunities, particularly military spouse scholarships, education and employment opportunities, because I truly believe in those organizations. And so LinkedIn, it's just Tiffany Jo Kelly, and it's spelled J-O-E. That is my real middle name. I was born in the 70s. My mom added the E, even though I'm a girl. So Tiffany Jo Kelly on LinkedIn is the easiest way to get connected with me. And there are a few that I have been able to connect with very personally via LinkedIn. And then we end up becoming Facebook friends. So Facebook is a little more for me as just Tiffany and not within my advocacy. So I always prefer to make sure we're a good match on LinkedIn and kind of get to know one another before I let you into the very personal side of my life, because I'm an oversharer. Obviously, if I'm willing to come here and talk about sharing all of this, I share everything on Facebook, but I would love to connect and continue the conversation.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Tiffany. Guys, go check her out. Connect with her on LinkedIn. And remember, just because it's hard doesn't mean it has to be miserable. And it won't be miserable if you approach it with compassion and get connected. Thanks, Tiffany. Have a great week, guys.
Talk to you later.
All of you Waiting Warriors know that life as a military spouse can be unpredictable. So it's easy to think that when it comes to our aspirations and dreams, you have to wait. But it doesn't have to be like that. National University is a veteran-founded nonprofit university that is firmly committed to helping military dependents. Not only are their programs flexible so you can time your assignments around things like deployments, PCSs, all the other crazy things, they have a scholarship just for military spouses. Use the link in the podcast summary or over on my Instagram bio to learn more about the Whisper Military Spouse Scholarship and the other options they have for tuition reduction for military spouses that could result in zero out-of-pocket educational costs at National University.